again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise His name. It's amazing how God can take a church service and just take control. Amen. If we'll let God do that to our life all the time, God can do great things, and He'll continue to bless and move in people's lives. And I also want to say that we're welcoming all of our visitors. We want you to know that we are glad you're here. And I most of all want to welcome Jesus into this house, every service. Amen. Praise God. We have a lot going on here in the next few weeks. We have our Ministers and Wives Banquet. We have the Apostolic Man Conference coming on. We have, of course, the Ministers and Wives Retreat. On the 18th, we have Brother Ron Gidrose, who will be preaching for us. So remember that. Amen. That's the 18th, and you really, really need to be here. And I believe on the 17th, he's going to be preaching for Tehachapi Church. So any of you that would like to go there and support that as well, remember that. And, we have a lot of things that are taking place, but let's don't ever let the things that go on and the things we do interfere with our prayer, our worship, and our praise with God. Amen? Hallelujah. At this time, we've asked Brother Allred. He's going to come. He's going to preach to us tonight. I appreciate Brother Allred. Now pray for Brother Allred. He's had a toothache for about the last 4 or 5 days. I hope that don't make him ornery, but no, just kidding. Not him. God bless you, Brother Allred. Have your liberty. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I don't know where people got the idea that I was ornery. Pardon? What post? Post toasties? I don't know. It's such a pleasure to be in God's house tonight. Did you know Jesus is as close as the mention of His name? Let me share something with you here tonight. When I was 18 years old, when the earth was real new, that was 50 years ago. Believe it or not, I ran a cold storage. When I turned 18, I told the man that owned the that run the place that I wanted to drive that forklift. And so one day he came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're it." And I'd never been on a forklift before. Anyway, showed me how to do it. But one of my jobs was to, they had marks on the floor, stripes like a parking lot, only they were exactly four feet in between them. The line was 4 inches wide. And big, huge place. And my job was to stack fruit in between those lines, and stacked them as high as the ceiling in here. And then at times I had to take them back out. And I remember one day I drove down this deep tunnel-like thing with stacks of fruit on either side. And I drove in there with a pallet of fruit, and I set it down on the top, and I began to back out. It was like 50 feet down this 4-foot pathway with everything on the side. There was no way to get out. And I remember as I backed out, for some reason I turned around and I looked up, and that pallet of fruit that I had set way up high, it was falling. There was no way to get off the forklift. There was just absolutely no place to go. And I thought I was going to die right there, literally. And I remember, as an 18-year-old, all I could do was I said, "Oh, Jesus, don't let that fall." And I'm waiting for it to come down on me. And as I stand before you tonight, it was as if a giant hand, I mean, it was already over on the tipping spot. It was coming down. It was past the breaking point. It was coming down. And I'm sitting there and I just say, oh, Jesus. And it was like a giant hand reached and got the front of that pallet and pushed it back up against the wall and held it there till I could drive my forklift back under it, pick it up, and set it down on the floor. And then I just sat there and shivered and shook. I'm glad I know the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 It's not just a name. It is the name that is above every name, that is named not only in this world, but the world which is to come. I'm glad I know the name of Jesus tonight. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. God is so good. I'm a little nervous tonight, and I'll tell you why. I had my notes all made out. I was supposed to teach last Sunday, but I had to go out of the state. I had my message all lined up, or Bible study all lined up. And every day I read over those notes and read the scriptures. And this morning I was reading them. And I had a bad toothache at that time, and I was wanting to get out of there. And I walked off and left my notes in the restaurant. I called, Brother Fisher called me right about 5:30, 5 o'clock, I guess, said, I was going to be preaching tonight. I said, sure, everything's all right. But when I opened my Bible, my notes were gone. And I called the restaurant, and they said, we threw them away. So tonight, it's going to be a great mystery, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm counting on God that He said He would bring all things to our remembrance that He told us. All right. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians, 3rd chapter. We want to read 2 verses, Colossians 3. I wish everybody would bring your Bibles to the church. I know we got technology. We got it on phones and pads and all of that. I wish you'd just get in the habit of bringing the Bible. Because the Lord's going to speak something to you, and you might want to underline it. And you might want to make some notes. Would you just humor this old school guy? I hate that phrase, old school. I hate that. Anyway, Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. I want to talk about setting your affections. Setting your affections. Praise God. You can be seated. Did you notice that God gives you the ability to set your affections? Amen. Now, the child of God, people that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we have two natures. Two natures. And one of those natures is called the Adamic nature, or the fallen nature. The fallen nature is totally depraved. There's not a good thing in it. It's wicked. It's lost. It's against God. The Bible calls that Adamic nature. See, there's a whole vocabulary that we use in the church. If you talk this vocabulary to people outside the church, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And so don't get upset if they don't understand. And so the Adamic nature, that is that nature that we get from our forefather Adam, it's called the old man. Now, I know some of you teenagers call your dad the old man. Hope nobody calls their mother the old lady or your wife the old lady. All right. So the Bible calls the Adamic nature the old man. It's also called the flesh. Okay. In the Spanish Bible, it says carne, meat. Well, you can see that doesn't jive. And so it's a whole terminology. So our fallen nature that we have, that we are born with. David said he was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so Paul even said, I know that in my flesh there is no good thing. That's talking about mankind as we are born. We are born lost. You don't have to do anything to be lost. Just be born. Okay? And so that's called the Adamic nature. The Bible tells us real clearly about it. It defines it. So we're going to read some scriptures tonight, several scriptures. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened." Now the word quickened means given life to. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation." Now, the word conversation doesn't mean to talk back and forth as used in the Bible. Conversation means your manner of life, your behavior. And so it says, "among whom also we all had our behavior, our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." So when we come into this world, we have a nature that is a nature of wrath. That wrath means anger. And in the book of Colossians, again, the first chapter, we're talking about the child of God has two natures. The first nature is the Adamic nature, the flesh, the old man. And in Colossians, the first chapter and the 13th verse, he says it like this: "Giving thanks unto the Father," verse 13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And so, we have two natures. We have a human nature, a fallen nature, an Adamic nature. It's a spirit of disobedience that works in us. That's how we're born. How we come into this world. Now, the other nature that we have tonight, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have a different nature, and it's found in 2 Peter. Describes it. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4, the apostle says it like this. Hang on a minute. You know, new Bibles are hard to break in. Okay. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." The word divine means having to do with God. Okay? And it says, "we have been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so we have the Adamic nature. Everybody's got that. Those that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost have now got a new nature. It's called the divine nature. It doesn't make you God. It just means that he put his spirit in you. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then Paul said it in Colossians 1:27. He said that's the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so tonight, if you've received the Holy Ghost, as laid out in the book of Acts, it said, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If that event happens in your life, you can say, I've been a partaker of the divine nature. I've got something from God that lives in my life. Praise the Lord. Now, the child of God has three enemies. Now, you could have more, but the ones that matter. Okay. We have three enemies. The world, that is that way of life outside of the kingdom of God. It has a ruler, the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan himself. And so our first enemy is the world. Our second enemy is the flesh, our Adamic nature. And then the third enemy is the devil. So we have two natures, a fleshly nature, that's the Adamic nature, and we have the divine nature, which is the Holy Ghost nature. And we're going to find out some things about that. And we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I guess I could say this might be a pet peeve to me. I hear a lot of people talking about the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that and you're having all kinds of problems. As long as you just blame that on the devil, you ain't never going to change. The one enemy that you have more trouble with than anything else is not Hollywood. It's not the honky-tonk. It's not the casino. The thing that you get, the enemy that you have more than I, and me too, is the flesh, our human nature. And I'm going to tell you something. Apostle Paul had trouble too. We're going to read in Romans 7 in a little while. And I think you can, I think we'll be able to relate. If you don't say amen to anything else, you can say amen when I read them verses in Romans 7. Okay? Hallelujah. And so, it's important that we understand that the thing that we struggle the most against is the flesh. There's only one devil, friends. Now, I don't feel sorry for the devil. I hate the devil and he hates me. I don't mind telling you I hate the devil. But there's only one devil. He's not omnipresent. If he's at your house, he ain't at mine. Or if he's at my house, he ain't at yours. But we talk like the devil's omnipresent and, you know, he's just everywhere. He's not. Now, there's a lot of demons. He's got a lot of helpers. But the point I want to drive home tonight is if we can understand that the struggles that we're having in our lives is mostly between our two ears and from head to foot. It's our flesh. It's our humanity. It's our humanity. Now, let's look at things. So the enemy we have the most trouble with is the flesh. We're going to read this, some scriptures tonight. Let's go to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. And let's see, this is supposed to be Bible study night, I think. So I'm not making any pretense of preaching. I'm teaching tonight. All right. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 16 and 17, listen to what it says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. That means to walk under the Spirit's control. Somebody said, well, I got the Holy Ghost, so I'm walking in the Spirit. No, that may not be true. Don't look like I'm sacrilegious here today. He said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, that's our Adamic nature, that's okay. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. (Laughs) Have you ever had somebody just really irritate you? If somebody comes up to me, say, preach it, Brother Ty. I'm fixing to. You know, if somebody comes up, I'm a really nice guy. I'm a peaceable person. Amen. But if somebody comes up to me and calls me a liar. Now, if you really want to tick me off, I'll just tell you how. Or call me a thief. One of those two. If I did the things that I would, I'd knock you out. If I could. So the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So that you cannot do the things that you would. How you would have done it B.C., before Christ. And so, what's going on there? Was it the devil? No, it wasn't the devil. It was our flesh. I remember one time, after I just recently received the Holy Ghost. My middle name is Gene, G-E-N-E. I absolutely loathe that name. And I'll tell you why. Because I should have never told anybody back then I didn't like it. When they found I didn't like it, they called me that all the time. But I remember I didn't expect it at church, though. And one Sunday morning we drove up to church and we got out of the car. And I found out the pastor's daughter put this guy up to it later on. And as soon as I got out of the car and was starting to walk up the steps into the church, I was so happy to be in God's house. This guy came up and said, "Hello, Jeannie." I'm telling you, I just saw red. And then I took after that guy, Brother Fisher. And we ran around three blocks. And I'm still after him. And I catch him on the steps of the church. And I got him down on the steps of the church, and his neck is right on the step, and I'm ready to crack his neck. You cannot do the things that you would. You can't even say the things that you would. Ooh-wee. When I say, keep preaching. That's right. You can stand right here. I want you to. It makes my wife upset when I tell her, I say this. I wish it was not true, but it's true. I know all them words. Some of them I know in Spanish even. I said, but you got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. But I got an Adamic nature too. And that Adamic nature knows all of that. Now, I'm not going to tell you I go around cussing. I don't go around cussing. But you know when things irritate you, when you know things go wrong, you know something. You cannot do the things that you would. You cannot say what you used to say. Somebody said, "Oh, just excuse my French." No. Say, why, Brother Allred? The Bible says that we're to have sound speech that cannot be spoken against. So when you're in that situation and all of a sudden that recorder goes off and you know all them words, I know just how to say them. I wish I didn't. But I got a divine nature that lusts against the flesh. And they are contrary one to the other. And I have been known, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you how it really is. I'm just being transparent to you today. I'm just telling you, I have been known to just suddenly come out loud and say, no! 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 You know why I'm saying no? Because my Adamic nature is wanting to say something else. So I cannot say what I used to say. I don't even want to. But we have a fallen nature that lusts against the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost lusts against that. The word lust just means desire. And whether it's good, evil, or godly, it has to do what the thought is or the desire is. It can be an awful desire. It could be a good desire. And so you see, we talked tonight, our text was, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen? Now, when you got the Holy Ghost, there was no wings popped out on your back. And there was no halo around your head. And the Lord did not immediately transport you to heaven. You still got to live on this earth. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're a citizen of another country. So we talk a different language. Amen. And so, I read those verses just to show you that the Bible is very clear that there's a conflict goes on in every child of God's life. And you need to know that. And because then the devil cannot use it as leverage against you. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm amen in my own preaching tonight. In Romans now, the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 8. We're going to read a lot of scriptures tonight. If we can identify where the trouble is, then we're halfway down the road to fixing it. Romans, now I'm talking to saved people. This, what I'm reading to you tonight, everything from Romans to Jude is written to Holy Ghost-filled people. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. They're on their way to heaven. They spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came, but He gave them these instructions. Now notice Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Here's why it's important to identify this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now let me ask you, what are you putting in your mind? What you got your mind on? And so he said, they that mind the things... For they that are after the flesh, that means people, Holy Ghost people that are living after the old fleshly nature. They fill their mind on things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So listen to this. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's our enemy, our flesh. We still have to deal with the old Adamic nature. We still have to not tolerate it, not feed it, not nurture it. Not make excuses for it. We have to understand it's there. But my Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, while we're recognizing that we're not denying, we're acknowledging, we're not bragging about it, we just acknowledge that I do have a fallen nature. Maybe you don't, I do. But you know what? The Lord has given me the wherewithal to overcome. You know, I went to the fair one time, well, many times, and I happened to go over in the livestock place. And when I went over there, the 4-H and the FFA people, they were getting their animals ready to show, you know, and to sell. And I happened to be over where the hogs were. And I saw this guy. They had a table there. And this guy had this hog up on this table. And he had him tied there. And he had out some clippers. You know, I could get a haircut, only these were big ones. And he was shaving that hog's neck, and he was trimming this and that, and you know, and the old hog. And they had a place over there where they had a deal where was a big water hose, and they had a bucket and a brush and soapy water there. And they would take those hogs over there, and they'd get out that brush, you know, and then they'd scrub them up, you know, and they were just shiny pink. You know, and the reason is they were going to take them over in the arena and show them and hopefully get a big price for the hog. But I noticed one of them hogs got away. And because they'd been washing off a bunch of hogs, there's a big mud puddle there. And you know where that hog went? They put a rivet around its neck. They trimmed his whiskers. They scrubbed him up. You know where he went, Sister Honey? Right to that mud hole. You know why? That's his nature. You know, I like dogs. I raise dogs. But if a dog ever gets sick, he's going to barf all... They find carpet to do it on. And they barf it up right on the carpet, you know. And you know what that dog does? He goes over there after he feels a little better. He just goes back and eats what he barfed up. Doesn't that make you sick? Peter used those two illustrations to describe a child of God, full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, that if he walks in his old nature, he will find sin. Is it right? No. But you know what? There's a struggle going on. It's like, excuse the expression, it's like the old Indian said. He said, it's like there's two dogs inside of me. A white one and a black one. And they're fighting. And somebody said, well, which dog wins? The one I feed the most. That's why Paul said, if you mind, they that are in the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And so I ask you, what are you filling your mind with? What have you got your affections on? And so God has given us the wonderful privilege through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That we, you know, when we were sinners, we just sinned. We didn't even think about it. But God has come down and filled us with His Spirit. And we now have the ability, through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, we are a participant in the divine nature. God lives in our life. And we can now set our affections. We're not bound by sin anymore. We're not dominated by sin anymore. We can set our affections. We can read in God's Word and find what God loves. And we can set our affections on that. We can say, I'm going to love that because I love God. But you gotta voluntarily set your affection on it. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you probably did too, when you got the Holy Ghost, there were some things about this apostolic life you didn't like. Well, maybe you're not honest. I'm just telling you. There's things that I didn't like. I got the Holy Ghost. There was things I didn't like about the way Christians were taught to live. But I got to loving Jesus. And the more I loved him, the more I loved what he loved. And the things that I used to love of this world, that I just thought I couldn't live without, I started hating them because I fell in love with Jesus. And I got to thinking more about what God thought about it than what my brother thought about it. Or the next door neighbor. Or the guys I went to school with. I didn't care what they thought about it. I loved Jesus. Amen. 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 And so he says here, for they that are, why should I be concerned about dealing with my flesh? Now it's real easy to blame it on the devil. After all, it's his fault. I don't have any responsibility here. That's why when you go to a psychiatrist, they always blame your grandma, or your uncle, or your cousin. But it's really your problem. And as long as we fall in that trap of blaming it on the devil did this, the devil did that, we're not going to grow in God because of fault. But when we say, it's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, then we can get somewhere. All right. And so to live after the flesh, to be carnally minded, is death. And so I don't want to live after the flesh. I don't want to be carnally minded because I want to live. All right. Don't you? Yes. All right. Let's look at the 12th verse of Romans 5:8. Excuse me. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. I don't owe the flesh anything. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For why aren't I? How come I'm not a debtor to the flesh? For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Anybody tells you you can't backslide, they lost their mind if they had one. Because the Bible says if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Simple as that. But, verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so here we are. We don't owe the flesh anything. And it says, if we through the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. It uses the word mortify. The word mortify means to put to death. So if I, through the power of the Holy Ghost, mortify the thoughts, the deeds, the actions, the habits, the ways of my old flesh before God came into my life, I'm going to live. Because He's quickened me, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. He gave life to me. He gave me the ability to set my affections on things above. All right, let's see, where was I at here? Okay. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's look at Romans now, 6th chapter. Verse number 15-20 says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. Well, some churches say you have to sin every day. Everybody says, we're all sinners. That used to be true. But I'm not a sinner anymore. I used to be a sinner, but I wouldn't be again. Because I don't know when my journey might end. And so we are saints. We're, the Bible calls us saints. And so notice what he says here. Lost my place. Yeah, he says, let not. Everybody say, let not. That means do not allow. Let not, therefore, sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What are our members? What does that mean? What are your members? We're not to lend them. our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our hands, our feet, our brain. Those are our members. And Paul says, don't yield. That means not like the lady that got on the freeway and she was merging into traffic and she ran into the truck and the policeman said, ma'am, why did you run into that truck? She said, well, that sign over there says, yell. I yelled and I yelled and he still ran into me. No, it's yield. Yield. And so what he's simply saying, don't give over your members to the flesh. Your flesh might want to tell somebody off. Don't lend your tongue to that. You see what we're talking about here? Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do that. You've done it. The devil didn't make me do it. I did it if it was wrong. And so Paul simply says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. You know what happened when you got baptized in Jesus' name and He filled you with the Holy Ghost? The rulership of sin over your life was broken. You used to have to sin because the devil, you were living according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But when Jesus came in, there's a new sheriff in town, and that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't have to use any part of my body, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my tongue, my brain, hands, feet. But I don't have to give that over to the devil anymore because it belongs to Jesus. And I got a choice. I'm going to choose. I want to set my affection on things above. You know what I found out? I found out that God loved tithing. But my selfish old self before I got the Holy Ghost didn't like tithing. But when I got the Holy Ghost, I found out that God said 10% of that money you got is mine, and I just want you to, by faith, give it back to me. He didn't say, wait till I could afford it. If you got that out in mentality, you will never be able to afford it. You say, well, what's the deal? It is a work, an act of faith. You cannot separate faith from tithing. But when you have trust God, let me tell you something tonight. You know what God said? That's the only place in the Bible. Now, this isn't in my notes, so don't worry about it. I won't worry about it. It's the only place in the Bible where God said, put me to the test. What do you mean? He used the word prove me. Prove me. Take Him at His word. By faith, obey Him. And you know what God said? I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. But there's something else He said there. He said, I am going to rebuke the devourer. You know, you get a raise, you say, well, I got some extra money. And your transmission goes out. And there went your raise. Or something comes up and that money you thought you was gonna, all of a sudden, it got devoured. And you just never can get ahead. But when you by faith take God at His word and you put Him to the test, you will find out that the Lord, that 90% you got left goes further than the 100% went before. And it just seemed like those things that gobbled up all your excess, they're gone now. And if you do happen to find yourself in a bind, you can go to God and say, "Now, Lord, I've honored you because I love you. And you said you'd supply all my need according to your riches and glory." I don't know how you've done it. I've just said, "I need some money, God." I don't have to back up to him and say, "You know, God, I haven't been tithing for 6 months, but I sure need a blessing now, Lord. Do you think you'd..." No. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and say, "Now, God, I need some money. And I know he'll supply it. It may be by some overtime. It may be by some other means. But I know that my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory." You see, what is it? Loving what God loves. And it can go anywhere. I've got to hurry on here. I've got too many things spinning through my brain. All right, let's look at verse 15 here in Romans 6. Is, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." Why? Because of his Spirit. All right. Now, Romans 6 then says that our old man is crucified. That's it again, not your dad. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that for henceforth we should not serve sin." And so what I'm saying tonight, we can set our affections when we begin to fall in love with Jesus. All these other things that used to be so near and dear to us, we didn't think we could live without it. I read a book one time. It was about the Westward Tide and people, the development of the West. It was a novel. It was a story. And it talked about the people that joined the wagon train. It's at Independence, Missouri. And the wagon master would tell the people, "You can only carry so much weight. You need to make sure that you have plenty of food, plenty of ammunition, plenty da 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 da." But there were always men that had wives. They had to have that nice oak chest. And they had to have the thing around the house. And it didn't matter. They're loaded down with their wagons and they're heading west, headed to Oregon. But I'm going to tell you, when they hit that certain part of the trail, those oxen's hooves were digging in. The tires were digging, not tires, the wheels were sinking down into the sod. And they're going uphill now. You know what happened? Out on the Oregon Trail, there were china cabinets set beside the road. There were the fine china set beside the road. All of these implements that they thought they couldn't live without, all of a sudden, it's going to kill them. They're not going to get to Oregon with all that stuff. And so they started unloading the wagon. And they got down to the things that they needed. And they went on to Oregon. They'd have never got there packing all that junk. Not junk. It was important. And so when you read the Bible, you hear the apostle saying, "Seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, there's a natural progress when we live for God. We have a lot of things starting off that we don't need. It may not be sinful, but it's just a weight. We got some things, some habits, some ways, some doing that are sinful that are going to keep, if we keep that in a wagon, we're going to die. But the Holy Ghost begins to help us. Can you say praise the Lord? We're not bound by that anymore. Praise God. And so we need to go to God in prayer. Now, let's notice here. I don't have time for this. If you read Galatians 5:19 into 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are these, and it names them off. All right? And then let's look here at the beautiful part in Galatians 5:24. I don't want to dwell too anymore on the works of the flesh. We know we're going to die if we have that in our life. But notice Galatians 5:24. But they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the lust and affections thereof. Lust and affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And so simply what happens, that because we have the Holy Ghost, as we grow in God, we begin to crucify the flesh. The things that were so dear to us and on and on and on, that were not like God, that didn't please God, that if we kept them in our life, they were going to destroy us. We just begin to crucify that. And sometimes it's painful. I don't know about you. I've shed a lot of tears around and often about some things that I loved, that I didn't need. And the Lord helped me. And so they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lusts and affections thereof. And so that's why Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:2, this is what I really want to drive at tonight. Set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The Lord give me that privilege in yours. And in that same chapter, he said to mortify them. That means to put them to death, to liquidate them, to terminate them, to just put it out there. He says, mortify therefore your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That means just a lust for more and more of evil. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice why. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And he said, in the which we also walked sometime when we lived therein. But now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Listen to that, the new man. Everybody say the new man. You know, there's some people, their name is New Man, Newman, you know. Put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm so glad that the Lord made me a new man. And anybody that knew me back then, sometimes I go to my home church and I hate to go there, not because I don't love the people. They just can't forget that old man. My pastor's son preached here, Brother Terry Treadway. Every time I get around him, he'll say, Brother Allred, do you remember? I said, my God, God forgot it. Why can't you? Give me a break. Knock it off. Forget it. God said, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. There's a new man walking in my shoes. You can call me Larry Jean all you want to. I'm not going to punch you. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody said, they just get my goat. Well, don't tell them where the goat is. You understand? I'm new. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you, this is exciting to live for God. I sit down every once in a while, Brother Fisher, and I just get to thinking about the old Larry Allred, and I say, God, I can't believe I lived like that. I get to thinking what he's done for me. And it's miraculous. It may not be miraculous to you, but it's miraculous to me that he can take that filthy, vile, dirty, rotten,
tongue, an attitude, and come in with His Spirit and transform me. Oh man, it was the work of God. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe in miracles. I do. I am one. He made me new. That's why it's so exciting to live for God as He begins to transform your life. You ought to be able to look back and say, woo, look what God has done. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot more to be said, but no time to say it. I want to leave you with this verse. I've been meditating on this verse. Oh, if I can remember. Oh, yeah. Philippians, Colossians. Philippians, the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. Paul says, finally, brethren, remember he's talking to people like you and me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever behavior, habit, practice, hobby, occupation, any, I can't think of any other word to adjective to describe that. If it doesn't pass Philippians 4:8, it's the flesh. It's not of God. It's of this world. No matter if it's your most favorite thing, if it doesn't pass that test, then what are we going to do? We're going to set our affections on things above. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. That's the wrong key. But I want you to understand, the transforming thing is that He gave us His Spirit. And you just cannot help but love Jesus. And the way we overcome in our life, the more we fall in love with Jesus, the things of this world, they just go strangely down. And it's so easy to set our affections tonight. I felt this in the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't think I did my best teaching ever, but that's not the point. The point is, God wants us to set our affection on things above. And when we do that, everything's going to be all right. You'll look back at your life in a little while, and you'll see, man, I can't believe I've changed. And it will not be willpower, it'll be love power. Because we love Him. Hallelujah. Do you love Him tonight? I know we're not shouting right now, but can you just lift up your hands and let's love God? I want to, every day I ask the Lord to help me set my affections on Him. And He talks to me. I've been in this a long time, but He still talks to me about setting my affections on Him. Hallelujah. And I found out it's so easy once I fall in love with Him. Once I love Him, things just begin to disappear. And when I want to be more like Him. Praise God. Sister, you've got a chorus. Would you sing it? We're going to turn it back to Pastor. But can we just lift our hands and love God tonight and ask Him, Lord, I want to set my affections upon You. It's not saying nobody has. It's just saying let's just be like Him to draw near to God. Praise God.
Come on, church, let's worship Him. Let's praise His name. Setting our affections upon Jesus. God is in the house. I believe He's made you think. I believe God has made us search and begin to dig deep into our spirits. God, am I really, really what I ought to be? Am I really, really where I should be? As they sing tonight, make your way to this altar and say, God, I want to fall in love with You all over again. Hallelujah. Can you just pray right now? Thank You, Jesus, for the Word. Thank You, Jesus, for Your Word, for Your Spirit.